This afternoon's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, reading from verses 6 to 11. That's page 1017 if you have a church Bible. Commencing from verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. For me, one of the great moments of the Old Testament comes when the prophet Isaiah receives a vision of God's glory. You can read it at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 6. And in this vision, Isaiah is transported to the throne room of heaven. And there he sees, much to his consternation and in fear for his life, he sees the holy Lord God sitting on the throne. And what he sees is God's glory. We find that even the angels that surround the throne cover their faces, for they cannot gaze on the stunning glory of the one seated on the throne. However, they are worshipping God and declaring to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's response to all of this is not that of feeling self-important because he has been allowed to receive this wonderful vision. Rather, his response is one of woe, of desolation. What a sinner he is in the light of the glory of God. That glory that emanates from that throne of heaven. He has, as it were, gazed on the glory of God, and his thoughts are nothing but of complete destruction, because here he sees himself before a holy God. It is right that we should respond in the same way as Isaiah, that we should fall down and worship God. But here's a question: how can we bring our daily needs to such a God? Can we approach the God of glory in that way? Because it somehow doesn't seem right. And as I was reflecting on this, my mind was taken to that occasion when Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. What is the first thing that we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9? Well, it's this: pray then like this: Our Father in heaven. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven. Now, that is outrageous grace. As we sung last Sunday afternoon, "Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend. Safe, secure in you forever, I pour out my praise again." How do we come to be that child of God who has a father in heaven? Well, Paul has the answer for us in Galatians 3, verse 26, when he writes, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Through faith in Christ Jesus. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we are condemned because of that sin, but knowing that he died for us, for our sin, that he rose again for our justification, that's when we know. What do we mean by justification? What does it mean that he rose again for our justification? Well, justification is actually a legal term in which God, the judge, declares the guilty, us, to be right with him. And it's not on the basis of anything that we have done, but on the basis of the redeeming work of Jesus. For not only is our sin forgiven, but Christ's righteousness is credited to our account. What a privilege it is to be able to come to a great God, but to know that we are a child of God. Remember the super six. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too. Now, some of us perhaps here this afternoon may have come from a dysfunctional family environment, perhaps not knowing love, not knowing grace. But the family of God is different. Mind you, there are still the annoying brothers and sisters, or aren't I allowed to suggest that? But we are family. Because we are children of God. And so we come to our Father in heaven. And included in what we sometimes refer to as the Lord's Prayer, we have the seemingly mundane request, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. I don't know whether you've really seen that in context there where we're, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we're Godward thinking. And then we suddenly then say, give us this day our daily bread. We're allowed to pray like that. We are allowed to bring our needs and to take our burdens to the Lord. And so we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on him. Because he cares for you. So there's two things I want us just to draw out of that verse this afternoon. And they're pretty obvious things. And the first one is God cares. So God cares and we cast. They're the two things I want us to consider briefly. God cares. Now, this verse here, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, is perhaps one of the more familiar verses of the New Testament. And what a glorious invitation it gives. Casting all your anxieties. Some translations go straight for cares. It's the same idea. Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Now, the readers of this letter are suffering Christians. And there's more and probably worse to come for them. We've looked at suffering itself, haven't we, recently from 1 Peter chapter 1. But chapter 4, verse 12 tells the readers not to be surprised when this comes on them. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. And following on from our verse in verse 7 of the chapter 5, we see that Satan is at work. And it's serious, serious. He's looking to devour us. Satan is looking to tell us that faith in God is wasted faith. And why, if God loves you, why do horrible things happen? And the idea of anxieties or cares is that of being pulled apart. I guess that sometimes we can be overwhelmed by cares and worries. It's easy, isn't it, for us to say, well, we shouldn't have them. Well, the Bible acknowledges that we do, but it tells us what to do with them. And so we sometimes feel, don't we, just that being feeling pulled apart with care and worry. We can't see the wood for the trees. We can't see the end from the beginning. We can't see good out of the bad. And then this great oasis opens up before us. Trust God, humbly recognize he is all we need, and cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, perhaps the first thing that we need to get a hold of, if we're to understand this, is the idea that the Almighty, the holy, majestic Creator God actually cares for us. Can we really say that? Sometimes we sing these words, whate'er my God ordains is right, here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, need, or death is mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all. And that's exactly what this verse is saying, isn't it? Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Dig a bit deeper and you get the same idea from Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 30. He says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, he's talking about the wonders of nature, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? God cares. Or Paul writing in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious, there it is, anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So God cares for that and those that he has made. We were made in his image to know him and to enjoy him. Yes, he reigns in glory. Yes, he dwells in unapproachable light, as the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Timothy 6. Verse 16. In other words, he dwells in divine majesty, purity, and holiness. His presence is so overwhelming that no one can bear its brilliance. Yeah, that's God. Dwelling in unapproachable light. And yet, a God whom we can approach through the Lord Jesus Christ. To a God whom we are to know as our Father in heaven. And once we have grasped this great thought that God cares for us, then we realize we can come to him. More than that, we can cast our cares on him. So let us really try and grasp that, not losing the sense of worship and wonder at his greatness, his power, his majesty, his holiness, but adding to that, that knowledge that we can come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we can come in faith, we come as the children of God. God cares. God cares. I just think it's something that's perhaps you think is obvious, but just to stop and for us to realize that in all his majesty, or in all his unapproachable light, that God cares about our lives, about us. That's why he sent his son to be our savior. So the second thing that we go do as follows on for that, God cares, therefore we can deal with the first part of the verse. We can cast our anxieties, we can cast our cares on him. It's an interesting choice of verb, isn't it? To cast, to throw, if you like. Casting is a process in which we give something to another. And so God wants to take the burden from us, yet the call is to give that burden to him. Cast all your anxiety on him. The Greek word used here for cast is a decisive, energetic action word. It means to throw something onto something or onto someone else. It's a deliberate, energetic action that we're to take those anxieties and those cares and to throw them onto someone else. It could be used, if you like, to describe throwing out a bag of rubbish. Of course, that illustration would have been written pre-wheelie bin days, but throwing out that rubbish, we cast it out, that bag of rubbish. It is a deliberate release of that care, deliberate release of that anxiety, and placing it on the Lord. It doesn't mean that we will not experience the effects of that anxiety or that care. Sometimes we have to go through times, and maybe at the moment you are going through times of care, of anxiety. But even for going through them, the call is to cast them onto our Father. For God will either bear that care, that anxiety for us, or will give us the grace to endure it. David in Psalm 55 and verse 22 writes, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." It's interesting, isn't it? He will sustain you. He's there with you. And he will never permit the righteous to be moved. In other words, he'll always hold on to us. It is important that we let him work in us as well as for us. Now, it all sounds well and good, doesn't it? But how do you practically make the anxiety transfer from you to God? It's one of those verses, and it sounds great, but what does it actually mean? Because Peter's seeming to say that, isn't he? He's saying, take your anxiety and your care and cast it and throw it decisively and actively onto God. There are some important words in this verse, and one of those important words is the word because. The answer is in trusting that he cares for you. That's where we start. We trust that. It is a practical trust then. We cast because we know. We cast our cares because we know. We can trust him, and he cares for us. And so when I was thinking, how do I do this? The first thing to say is that we're not to be general. Rather, we're to be specific. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we're general, aren't we, and say, Lord, I just cast all my cares on you. Or, Lord, will you just help me with these things that I need to do today, the things that we've got to do, and we're general. But let us be specific. Identify the care or the anxiety. And whilst it's true that God knows what we need even before we ask him, we must cast specific cares on him. And so let us learn to name that anxiety before God. And therefore, as we do, we see ourselves transferring it or casting it onto him. Trust God specifically, that he cares about that particular need. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel that need or that particular situation just seems so mundane, it seems so small. And should I be praying, should I be passing it on to the great and holy God, creator of heaven and earth? That's not for me to decide. The Bible is telling me that I'm to do it. Because God cares for me. And so we need to believe that he is God, and we need to rest in his grace. And this, of course, has a very clear connection to prayer. Earlier, we read Paul's words from Philippians 4, verse 6. Let me do it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't be anxious about anything. And that goes on, the next verse, Paul says, and the peace of God will be with you. But it's having done that first. It's making known those requests. It's casting our cares that then enables us to know that grace and that peace. You see, we're prone, aren't we, to forget God's sovereign control over circumstances. Perhaps he is sovereign over big things like the nations. He's sovereign over creation. But this is really quite personal. To which we say, God is still sovereign. What did we sing earlier? All praise to him, the God of light, who formed the mountains by his might. All praise to him who names the stars that sing his fame in skies afar. And that's great, isn't it, to think of the majestic creator God. All praise to him. But then the song goes on to say, all praise to him who reigns in love, who guides the galaxies above, yet bends to hear our every prayer with sovereign power and tender care. We're not called on to deny anxiety. We're not called on to live a carefree existence. We're not told to pull ourselves together. You're a Christian. We're not told to run away from situations. We're not told to ignore things. Instead, Peter says that we are to cast all our anxiety on God. And I'm sorry, yes, it is, I think, a recognition that there are going to be cares and there are going to be anxieties in our lives. And the ultimate expression of God's care is seen on the cross. We've thought about it already this afternoon. The ultimate expression of God's care can be heard in a cry. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The ultimate expression of God's care can be seen in a cross, in a cry, but also can be experienced in an instant. Today, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. The one who saved us is the one who sustains us, which enables us to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. But also to sing, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so, God cares, and we cast. Let's pray. Father, we just want to just pause this afternoon and to wonder again at the just remarkable truth that the almighty, sovereign, creator God, the one who is holy, the one who lives in, dwells in our approachable light, is the one whom we come to in prayer. The one who loved us to the point where you gave us your Son to be our Savior. To God who cares for us. And that you have asked us to pray. And in your word you've called us to cast our anxieties, to cast our cares on you, because you care for us. And Lord, that sometimes we will have to carry those cares and anxieties, and yet we will not carry them alone. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to find our rest and our peace in you, without losing that sense of wonder at your greatness as we worship you. May we also come to a Father who loves us and cares for us. And we give you our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.